I was told I was going to have to wake you up, but I think we've been woken up, haven't we? I know, not just due to the Starbucks, I had some of that, and I even got it with an extra shot of espresso this morning. I'm sure I wasn't the only one. So I want to tell you a story today, a story that might seem familiar to all of us about a blind man along the way who had been trying to find his way and who was constantly getting crowded out. All sorts of distractions along the way. And then he heard that this guy named Jesus was coming by, and he tried to get to this Jesus, but the crowd, once again, was crowding away. He probably thought he had missed his chance. But out of nowhere, Jesus hears him. I can't imagine how Jesus heard him, because he was just so crowded by people. Everyone wanted a piece of Jesus at this point. And he had all these folks who wanted healing and attention and their say in the conversation. And then there was this guy. In fact, the crowd even kind of shushes him because he was so unimportant. But Jesus had tuned his ear to the need around him. Not to the squeaky wheel, but to what was really needed around him. And Jesus says, "Bring him to me." And he calls him over. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" "I want to see." "What do you want me to do for you?" "I want to see," he says. We have been talking together. We have been praying together. We have been in silence together. We have been interceding for one another and for our church. And we are tired and weary. But we sense that God's Spirit has been here in this place. And we might go back to our places where we serve. And we might feel like this blind man named Bartimaeus outside of the crowd. And no one's paying attention. And we're saying, "Well, let's pray together, and let's gather together." And we believe that God is calling our church to something, but we might not have the political contacts to make it happen. We might not be the squeakiest of wheels. We might not have the special interest. But Jesus has tuned his ear to the need of those who stands outside the crowd. What would it be like for then us, as we continue to extend this gathering, as we extend the prayerful presence of Jesus outside of these walls into our communities, for us to then tune our ears to the need of those who are not the squeaky wheel? Because I have a hunch that if revival's gonna come, it's gonna come if we pay attention, because God's Spirit is out there already at work, doing something new already. Now, we might wanna miss it as United Methodists, but God's already at work. Revival is already happening. God's Spirit is already speaking. We just pay a little attention. If we don't get discouraged, if we acknowledge our own need to see again, our own need to get our eyesight made whole so that we can see like Jesus sees, if we acknowledge that sometimes we haven't been heard and sometimes we haven't allowed others to be heard, if we acknowledge that we have too failed in our attempts to live a holy life, if we acknowledge that we too are in desperate need of divine grace, we too. And at each and every moment, at each step of the journey, then Jesus comes and calls us by name and makes something happen, a miraculous thing happen in our midst. So can you imagine that miraculous thing? Can you hear the sound of the Spirit? Ready and able to make all things new? The gift of sanctifying grace being outpoured on all of us and on our in our churches and in our neighborhoods and revival bursting up as people say, Jesus, I want to see again. Help me see again. So sisters and brothers, do not dismay. Maybe you have been like these folks who began this work 20 years ago. I mean, 20, that's a long time, folks. And to look at the church and look at this document and look at these promises and look at this covenant and say, we are still needing this covenant. No wonder we need to renew our covenant again and again. No wonder we need those prophetic words again and again. Maybe we have convinced ourselves that we've seen just fine. So we've come acknowledging that we need it. Are we ready to live into the covenant? Are we ready to live into the promise? Are we ready to listen in? Are we ready to begin again? I am sure that 20 years from now, we might gather here again. Now, hopefully, it won't take us 20. But there's always people who need Jesus Christ. But I promise you one thing. And that is that the United Methodist Church will not just live, but will thrive. Not just become stagnant, but be fruitful. And not because of Juan or Lisa or Matt or Rob, but because of the Spirit of God, who's still at work in us and in the world, who's still going from town to town and city to city, who's still going to places to see who is in need to be made whole, who's still calling people names who think that they have been forgotten. That's just what the Spirit of God does. And so again and again, we'll remind one another of the covenant we've made to be a covenant people. A covenant people. To be a one people, one baptism, a one people in Jesus Christ, a people who in spite of our differences and in spite of all the struggles that we have and in spite of all the ways that we look at the world, we come together knowing that Christ is the head of this body called the church. Some years ago, I was struggling. I was serving a small congregation in Southwest Louisiana. There were more cows than people. And I remember I sat in the sanctuary of that little church, and I lit the candles at the altar, and I just sat and I wept. And I was ready to call the superintendent and say, I just can't do this. I absolutely cannot do this. The church is not wanting to move forward. I don't know what to do. I'm not up for the job. And all of a sudden, the phone in this empty church rang. Kind of startled me at first. No one really ever called. I thought someone had died or something. He was a colleague of mine from across the state. And these are his words. He said, Juana, I don't know how your day is going, but you came to mind, and I want to let you know that I know where you are today and that I'm praying for you so that God will do a thing in you. And I try to engage him in more conversation. He said, no, that's all. That's all I'm being led to tell you. And he hung up. Thank you, God. There's been a lot of weeping. There's been a lot of crying out. There's been a lot of gnashing of teeth, name calling. There's been a lot of hurtful words. God is calling us on the phone. Sanctifying grace is being outpoured. I told you last night to listen to dreams. This morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to speak to one another about those. Just to see what the Spirit's been saying. No agendas, just a conversation. Just God's people gathered together, saying together, Jesus, we want to see. Jesus, we want to see. Jesus, we want to see. Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you for these folks who are gathered here and now. Gracious God, may you strengthen us as we talk to one another, as we hear your voice, as we seek your face, as we stand before you and say, I want to see again. May we hear the call of your Son waking us up, getting us up, and bringing us before you. May we be ready to ask you for our need. Help us hear. Help us see again. Help us remember that we are your covenant people. Free us. Sanctify us. Restore us. Redeem us. Thank you for your grace, for your salvation, and for your wholeness that we claim and proclaim. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.